might turn Hannah up a bit. I just have a feeling that he's not going to shout as much as we will.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I've ever heard you raise your voice.
Yeah, well, I don't need to.
You've got that Gus Fring thing happening. Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Internet's only funny comedy podcast about classifieds. My name is Michael Hingan, enjoying a piece of my fiancé's birthday cake across the table from me. At my house is Benjamin Jenkins.
Can I say, I should not have, I mean, I've had a long time to work out what not to do with my mouth before starting a record. Take a big sip of tea, start chewing some gum. But one of them is, a new one to add to the list is taking a bite of a delicious cake.
What's so good about this cake? It's the birthday cake. We should introduce, I guess, as well.
Fine.
The three of us were at my girlfriend's party last night. She had a birthday party. Hamara Mabib, you might have heard of her. Our guest today was there, looking resplendent in, I would say, futuristic visor. Wasn't a costume party, just turned up like that for some reason.
Exactly.
Hello, James Hennessy. Or do you go by J.R. Hennessy? Sorry, I don't know.
James is fine. You can call me whatever you like.
G'day, Hedo.
Mr. Fuckhead himself.
Okay, well, not sure about that.
This is so great because
this was made by our friend Gabby.
This is made by our friend and friend of the podcast, Gabby. Uh-huh. And I had to leave the party early. I didn't see either of you guys.
You must have been super early.
I was a memory before you guys got there.
I got there when there was nobody there. So you must have been super early.
Well, yeah, because we were there. We brought Mo. And
to a pub.
To a pub. He loves going to pubs now. Do you know why? Because the last time I took him to a pub was also something with Hum.
Oh.
And Hum got him a little dish of olives, which you know the boy adores.
He loves a fancy treat.
And so now he's like basically, like pubs are just olive places for him.
Sometimes he likes pubs, and he likes like the upper tier of pubs that would serve olives like that.
Well, the pub we were at last night, which it was a nice pub, but it's not like-
It's not bougie.
It's not a place you would assume would serve you a little petri dish of olives.
John.
Because Hum craves-
Did you say a little petri dish of olives?
Oh no, a little ramekin, sorry.
Some agar jelly in there, whatever they call it.
But because Hum craves Moses' approval above all else, when she saw him last night, she was like, I'm going to get that fucking kid some olives, and went to the bar and was like, do you guys have olives? They're like, absolutely no.
They sell pizzas.
That's the thing. They were like, we sell pizzas, but we don't have like olives. And she was like, well, if you sell pizzas, you have olives. And they were like, yeah, but that's not how this. And she was like, you have olives.
Give me the jar of olives.
And you've completely thrown them off their game. They've only ever seen them as a topic.
Yeah, exactly. Some poor guy like on his first day back there, unsure of what to do. But she got them for him. So we had to leave early, so I didn't get any cake.
Yeah,
and
right.
I was fuming, Michael and James, fuming at home.
Understandably.
I didn't think that I'd ever have that cake. I'd written it off.
I had an unexpected feeling last night.
Was it for your fiancé?
I mean, yeah, sure, but no, that wasn't unexpected.
That was expected.
It was
anticipated birthday. Feeling that.
But when I heard, Ben, that you were going to go and help Hum, you and your family were going to go and help Hum
set
up the party, that they lovingly came and picked her up and drove her to the party, and I was, I'd eaten a whole box of Gobstoppers and felt quite unwell.
Sure.
And so.
Isn't that
more of a Ben thing, wouldn't you say?
I was going to say, we really Freaky Friday'd that moment, I feel. Helping out your fiancé set up a party and having a Gobstopper-related tummy ache.
And so I was, when she left, I like went and lay down upstairs in the bed. I sort of rubbed my tummy for 40 minutes.
You know what's amazing and why you've got a real keeper, I think?
Go on.
She didn't tell me that.
I don't know that I told her that. I think I said something about, I feel nauseous probably because it's long COVID or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people who claim to have long COVID have just eaten too many Gobstoppers. There's some literature coming out now about that.
I think you becoming nauseous like got to me third hand from various people, but there was no Gobstopper involved in the story.
Well, also the other thing was that this week I've been on the madness drugs. I've been taking this.
Are you still on PrEP?
No, I've been taking an asthma steroid that my mother said to me, you can't take it for more than 4 days or it'll send you mad.
Fucking did.
What did you do?
Because the doctor who was his doctor, not his mother. Mm-hmm. His mother's also a doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
But she doesn't have the chart in front of her. And I also think she secretly wants to kill him. The doctor was like, take this much for like a week or so.
Yeah.
And his mother was like, Hing's mother was like, not the doctor's mother. Please understand me when I say
Don't introduce new characters.
This instance, the doctor was a woman. Uh-huh.
And they lived in a lighthouse. And that's that mystery solved. No, it was like.
There was an ice pick made out of ice, mm-hmm, man. Mm-hmm. Sorry, yes.
Hing's mother was like, well, you can't take it for more than 3 days, 4 days.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So Hing just goes, well, I'll just do some very basic algebra and up the dose.
Uh-huh. Rather than taking it for like 10 days or whatever, 12 days or whatever it was, I just quadrupled the dose but had it over, do you know what I mean, over a shorter amount of time.
Don't people go to like medical school for like 8 years to work out how you're actually supposed to do that?
Yeah, of course people. And then a friend of mine who's actually Dave Harmon, who's a friend of the show, who's talking about prednisone, was saying he was on quite a-
He's no stranger to prednisone,
yeah,
Dave
he's
Harmon.
Been on for a while. And he was saying he did quite a high dosage but had to build up to it over months. Uh-huh. And I thought- Nah, I'm just going to mainline it. And let me tell you, as far as self-medication goes, mm-hmm, it worked a treat in terms of fixing my lungs. Because my lungs and breathing, so good. In terms of, I would say, acne, mood swings, nausea.
By the gobstoppers,
sweating.
It sounds like impulse control maybe have gone out the window.
Oh boy, have I had an up and down week.
Do you know I wrote like 80,000 words of a novel while on prednisone?
I texted my dad and was like, because dad's an eye doctor, and I was like, Dad, the prednisone, can it make my eyes better? I feel like my vision's sharper. And he wrote back, you are high. anyway, so we've had some
I will say, I did a gig with you on Wednesday night
on Wednesday,
at the Comedy Store.
Yes.
And sometimes, Henno, we do a little bit of gear at the top of our show where we're like, oh, what losers come to a D&D show? And it's just gentle ribbing that is with love. Mm-hmm. I think because of the pred, Hing really overshot into like genuine, I would say, loathing and aggression for these people who had paid tickets for us. And the first like 30 minutes of that show was just repairing his damage.
You fucking losers. Why'd you come to this, you soft ass losers?
Oh, yeah, I did the exact same thing. I did. I went to PAX 1 year.
Oh, sure.
When my partner Ali was doing a presentation or something. And I did one of like, I think they do something like the Great Debate. It's like they do a debate on
some
pop cultural
thing.
Sort of topic in front
of,
and you know,
a friend of the show, Alex Lee, did one.
I've done one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember. Well, Ali was on the panel with me, but I can't remember who else was. I think Mark Serrells.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't remember what the topic was either, but it was like a lot of people showed up for it, which shocked me. You know, and they have the gigantic screen when you're speaking as part of this comedy debate, you're like blown up to like Big Brother size.
Yeah. IMAX.
And I did the exact same thing. I thought I'd do like gentle ribbing and say, you know, everyone here sucks and you're a nerd or whatever. And then I can't remember what that exact line was, but I completely overshot the mark to the point where everyone on stage was also like, ah.
You all belong in a camp. Let's round it up.
And people were booing. I mean, you know, some of them maybe in jest. I don't know about the rest of them. Anyway, I haven't been back.
Ali gets up and she's like, I don't know who that is.
And I just rush the stage.
Yeah, but I say we kill him, right?
And Ben.
Yes, mate.
You have some news as well. You went on an adventure this morning.
I did. I was just telling both of you that I went, sometimes when you have a child, you guys, you simply need to get yourself and that child out of the house.
Sure. Okay. Now, is this to stimulate Mo so he has an education?
Absolutely. And also to stop one of the parents, because Anya does this for me, from going to jail. So I was like, Moses, let's get out of the house. Let's go to Birkenhead Point Shopping Centre.
Oh, now for people outside of the Sydney area, Birkenhead is sort of an outlet mall, I would say.
It's outlet mall.
But it's a
very classy outlet
it's
mall.
It's on the water. It's like a waterfront outlet mall in sort of the inner west or the north, inner northwest of Sydney.
I would say it is, I think as an outlet mall, it sounds like I was in that place where Marge gets her suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a way. But I'd say there are a lot more of those suits. You know, when she goes back to the shop and there's nothing good there?
Yeah,
wouldn't happen at Birkenhead Point Shopping Centre.
So I worked at Birkenhead. When we worked at the bottle shop, I used to do shifts at the Birkenhead outlet one. And it's an outlet mall, but it's adjacent to a marina.
Yeah.
So it's an outlet mall for yacht owners, basically.
Basically,
it's kind of what it is.
I think what it is they just have weird sizes of things.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So it's if you're a very big or very small person.
But also if you're just a bit like... It's like if you're a 30 waist, but like a 36 leg for some reason, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like right. deformed people. Basically.
Yeah. If you've been like stretched in Microsoft Word. Yeah. But I went there and I basically didn't really have anything to buy, but I just needed to get out of the house with Mo. We sat there and we had a little babuccino and a coffee. You can probably intuit who had which. And then I was like, oh, I need some new jeans. Cause I told, he said, why do you need new jeans? And I was like, oh, I've only got like two pairs of pants. And he looked at me like I was like a drug addict living in like,
cause you're addicted to pants. You want more pants?
No, because he was like, you have two pairs of, cause he has like 40 pairs of pants. Kids just burn through pants.
Really? I would have thought as a child, I only really had one or two pairs of pants.
How do you remember this?
Because I remember what the pants were, but I, well, also, they were always pants. They were never jeans because there was an incident where I'd outgrown some jeans and my parents told me that I just get them on because you got to go to church. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to jam myself into the jeans and I thought if I took my underwear off, that would be easier because I would
less
be-
less friction.
It'd be less friction. Well, also, it'd be like, I thought the underwear was just taking up too much space.
Yeah, it was a space issue as
exactly.
well.
So absolutely. I got rid of the underwear and then just sort of-
Is this the same scientific mindset as like upping the pred dose? I'm seeing the prequel basically.
Yeah. No. So
something about married yourself.
I don't know that feel he, aside he, from he zips coming his nuts. Hair.
Well, you
so
didn't
I didn't
do
come
that.
In my hair. Then.
You zipped
I
was like, you zipped your nuts in a zipper.
Yeah. Not an entire nut. It was like, I would say
the skin, right?
A skin of my right-hand side testicle was caught, but the zip went through it, if that makes sense.
Oh, it's right. striking to me that you can remember which
trauma
side.
Is why.
Oh, trauma. Yeah, that's right.
Then I had to like, I remember, look, so that's why I didn't wear denim for like 20 years.
That's not really called the denim. That's, you can get button jeans.
No, I know, but I just something about the texture of the denim.
Oh yeah, trauma.
Was like, I'm not gonna. Yeah. It's trauma. It's trauma. Yeah. What I remember is being like screaming, and then my parents going into full like ER mode.
Oh yeah,
and my dad lifting me onto the table in our front room like it was a hospital dolly.
That's cool.
And then getting kitchen scissors and cutting the pants off me around. So then it was just like. The zip was still just attached to my nutsack.
And it's still there to this day.
Anyway, so I remember only having like one or two pairs of pants because I would outgrow them. And after that, I didn't like wearing tight pants because it was, you know, a whole thing.
It might just be that we like buying pants for Mo and that he's a very grubby child. Do you think that children have a lot of clothes?
I don't remember. I don't remember having 40 pairs of pants.
No, that's insane, right? It sounds like the kind of kid who eats a lot of olives, you know?
Well, exactly, yeah. But I feel like you only have a few at a time because, you know, as he says, you outgrow them.
You outgrow them.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Like he's got some that he's outgrown and some that he's growing into. So he's got either side.
Right, and fully fleshed out apparently with a whole range of options.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's got pants with sharks on them, pants with bananas on them.
Yeah.
Did you end up buying new pants?
Well, I did. Sorry, yes. We went to buy jeans and I went to buy skinny jeans because I wear skinny jeans. Mm-hmm. And I took them to the counter and the guy was like, oh, these are like $30, by the way. I was like,
for jeans? Very cheap.
Like both jean, like
two pants, two legs.
And they were like, yeah, $30. And I was like, why? Because I was like, there's something wrong with them. And he was like, people don't really wear skinnies anymore.
Oh, now was this a young, cool
a
person?
A younger, cooler person.
Yeah, right.
I felt very old, Michael
did
and James.
Did you buy it and you still bought the jeans?
So $30 is $30. I mean, I'm not going to. And I'm also not going to wear, I can't.
Are you wearing them now? Are these the jeans?
I bought three pairs.
Wow.
So you found out that these were a cut price denim jean and
I
you
found
bought.
They were very unfashionable and I said, I'll have three more of them, please. I bought a black, I bought a kind of very light blue, and I bought a dark blue with light
patterns
stitching,
or
which
right.
I have to tell you, don't love, but $30 is $30.
Damn. Okay. So now you've got these unfashionable jeans that you can wear. I guess if you wear them out with the skinniness and whatnot, people will know you know, this man sucks.
It's funny.
And that's what you're trying to project.
Very recently, I was like, these are just default jeans. You know what I mean? Like these
are. Skinny's had a long run. Skinny's had a very long run in terms of like the fashion state.
I feel like they started in like 2005, yeah, maybe.
Exactly. And they've run until basically
15, 17
and
years.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Zoomers or whatever have decided that they want a roomier leg.
Because I remember, I remember being like 19 or whatever, or 18 or whatever it was, skinny jeans starting to come in and me being resistant. And me being like, no, thank you.
But now you can't go back.
Well, no, I can easily go back. I'm not banned.
Okay, sorry.
I think we've told this story before, but I remember the first pair of skinnies I ever got was when me and Hing were hosting O Week in 2006 at Sydney Uni. There was a sponsorship from a shop
called Provocateur,
which I think I was on Oxford Street the other day, and I think they still have an outlet.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
And so part of the sponsorship was that they would dress the hosts,
which is so funny to imagine just two ratbag 19-year-olds getting dressed by the fucking
by Provocateur,
by Provocateur, and they had no. I don't know if when you get styled, they ever go, "What do you usually wear?" It's certainly what happens on Queer Eye. Where they go, "What do you usually wear?" And they say, "I look like a big piece of shit." And they say, "Well, why don't we take that and not do that anymore?"
Flip it.
But at least they're like, and I know you like wearing like a pickle barrel all the time and a bindle. So these jeans are sort of like they've got a
hobo aesthetic.
Yeah, hobo aesthetic. This guy didn't have any of like, it's like we'd kind of walked in naked and we were mannequins. And so he just dressed us, but he was the one who gave me my first pair of skinnies.
He said that you were the bad boy of the group.
He did, which I now think is potentially racist. I've puzzled over that for probably 15 years. And now I think he was just a racist man.
2006, different time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if he'd pointed to me and said, you were the bad one of the group, that also could be right. You know,
exactly. You're the bad boy and you're the bad one.
You caught it.
You're what can you say? Not trustworthy.
Yeah. I love this. You're bad boy. You're dangerous. Ooh, mothers don't want you around their daughters and you are unclean.
Espionage. All right. This is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find hidden gems for you. Now, we have broadened our scope recently to include any text on the internet.
That's right. And before we get into it, we do have a little bit of housekeeping to do.
Oh, do we?
I've brought three sodies. I've laid them out on your coffee table on their own coasters.
So people who listen to our live show in Melbourne or pretended it might remember Ben's fun game he invented called I've Got My Sody and I'm... No, it was Name That Sody.
It's called Name That Sody. Name Thanks that very Sody. Much.
And obviously, Ben, you've got a catchphrase that goes along with that.
It's called I've Got My Sody and I'm Ready to Goatee is the catchphrase. So I thought we could all have our sodies and be ready to goatee. I've selected three from the shop across the road from Hing and Hum's place. There is the classic Dr. Pepper, which I've got to tell you. I've sort of got my eye on.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, okay.
There is a, and the other two are from Japan. This is from this is Chupa Chups, and this is
traditionally a lollipop.
Melon and cream flavor.
Oh, okay. Is that what you were gasping at before?
Well, I was. Because when I grabbed it from the shelf, I just saw melon, and I think my brain censored cream.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't expect it to
because follow. it does say contains milk.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Now, Jay, Hanno, I'm not drinking that.
Okay, cool. Well, I looked it up. I'm having to draw the short straw.
And then what is this one, Ben?
And then the other one is all in Japanese, but for the words grape soda.
Oh, okay. I'll have that then.
And
easy.
And I did a shit in it. So
and we sealed it.
No, you can have that. I'll drink cream with melon.
I've got my eye on it now. My interest is piqued.
All right. So, I mean, look, we can probably skip my appraisal of a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, sure.
Other than I will say, I listened to a podcast recently that was like, it's like a thing that reviews just random objects and stuff. Mm-hmm. It does need a plug. It's one of the most popular podcasts in the world.
They review what?
They were like, he just picks two things and reviews. It's called the Anthropocene Reviewed. It's like, fine. But he was reviewing Dr. Pepper. And one of the things he said about Dr. Pepper, which I think is really true, is like, Hing, what you're drinking from right now is like a analog of grape. And what you're drinking from is an analog of melon and cream.
Cream of melon.
Even like Coke. There's a coca bean and there's also some lime and some citrus.
And,
yeah, well, there's that too. Yes. Dr. Pepper tastes like Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like there is no analog.
Oh, right, okay.
No, it's so good.
It really tastes like the guy. I'm like, what does that mean? Okay, yeah, sure.
It tastes like his dick and his balls.
No, it's sarsaparilla, isn't it?
What is sarsaparilla?
It's from the sarsaparilla root. It's a sarsaparilla tree. Guy's a fucking moron.
Well, what's Mountain Dew? Mountain Dew is
that's also melon. That's melon.
That's melony.
That's traditionally a melon drink.
Okay.
That's Melanie Bracewell.
Sure. Is she a listener?
Former guest on the show.
Yeah, I guess. Probably not.
Now, I've tried my grape soda. It's a classic grape soda. I think it's the Sangria brand.
Yeah, Sangria.
Sangria, which is kind of just like Sangria.
How sweet is it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd say like a 6 or 7.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's a bit light on the sweetness.
Because I find that those grape sodas can really overshoot. Yeah. Fanta grape soda is like migraine territory.
But to the headline review, you've taken a couple of sips of the Chupa Chup cream of melon soda. What do you think?
It's not cream of melon. That sounds disgusting.
Like, what cream is it? Of melon. It's actually
it's cream and melon.
Melon and cream flavor. Right. It's actually not bad.
Okay.
I'm going to put it out there. I wouldn't choose to drink it, but it actually tastes like a Chupa Chup. I mean, there must be a Chupa Chup analog of this.
Yes. Oh, right. Okay.
Well, yep. Which is like the, because you know how they have those Chupa with like the creamy.
That's what I was going to say, the duds.
Yep.
They are duds. They are absolute duds. If there's like, you know, you go to a function or a party or something, especially as a child, and there's, you know, there'll be like that whole giant stand where there are Chupa Chups, or maybe you're at a shop or something, and you always see cola, that's gone.
Creamy. Great, oh,
that's
long,
gone. That's yeah. long
cola
gone.
Cola is a wisp strawberry of a cream, rumor that's of a memory. There.
Melon, I mean, melon and creams, that's got to be even lower than strawberry and cream. That's
yeah, absolutely. This kind of tastes adjacent to the strawberry and cream one, I have to say.
Yeah, okay,
I don't think, I'm not tasting a lot of melon.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for that Sody report. It's a sort of subsection of snack report.
If you'd like as well, there are some other snacks we can get to later on in the
can
show.
Can I also say?
Yes.
A listener of this podcast, who I know from the Discord is Gino, gave another listener of this podcast, who I know is Renee, some snacks at a live show, a live Dragon Friend show to me to try on the show.
Hang on. He gave... she gave to Renee to give to you.
I added complicated steps here, but I'm just saying I was in receipt of these snacks.
Who's meant to eat them though?
Us.
Oh, okay.
And you know, Henno, potentially.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like there wasn't anything.
Why not?
There wasn't anything in the instructions that suggested that we couldn't share them with a guest, least of all Henno.
Sure. Yeah. They wouldn't have a problem with it, surely.
And then I took them to work and then the cleaners cleaned them up.
Oh.
Can you believe it?
I mean, that feels like, honestly.
Where were they? Where did you leave them?
Right on my desk.
If G-Not or Renee are listening to this.
Appropriate? Are they supposed to do that?
I think you can steal a lot as a cleaner.
Oh, for sure.
Under the auspices of cleaning it up. You know what I mean?
How high value snacks. They're yours, yeah.
They're yours. Because if anybody kicks up a stink.
Were they unpacked? Were they opened?
They weren't. No, because I was going to...
See,
they were intended for me.
There was a hesitation there.
Yeah, well, what it sounds
like happened is you opened these snacks, half ate them, and the cleaners cleaned up the rubbish, and now you're blaming the cleaners, Ben.
Look, we don't need to go into any of this. This isn't in the purview of the show. This is a show where we go through the Beast Classifieds and find the best and worst stuff to talk about.
And speaking
Michael.
Of live shows, just before we get to your classified, Ben.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing a live show in Melbourne on the 2nd of September. It's me, it's Ben, potentially Hum as a guest. We're trying to convince her.
Yeah.
And maybe the other ones will be Greg Larson and Geraldine Hickey. Oh. They've penciled it in, but they're very busy right now, so we'll see.
Both very busy people.
But there's not many tickets left to that, so it's basically sold out.
I don't even know why you're plugging
it.
This is just taunting people at this point.
10 left, I think.
Okay.
So you can go find those at the Comedy Republic website.
I've already said this to you even on air. No, maybe not on air, but like... When I said to you, because we're down in Melbourne to do Dragon Friend stuff, and I said to Hing, we should do a late show on like Friday. And Hing was like, yeah, it's a great idea. I'll call me a Republican. I'll get us a late show spot. I didn't think anything of it. And then Hing sent me the poster and it's on at 10:30 at night.
That's fine.
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You've been awake at 10:30 recently. You know?
Occasionally I have been. Actually, my cousin put on like a gig last week, but he's in a band.
What's the band?
The band is called Douglas Park Riot. They're kind of like a blues rock sort of thing.
Cool.
Anyway, so they were playing at a show in Newtown. And basically I was at like a family function. I was like, yeah, sure. I'd love to come.
Did the family function transition into a gig?
No, it was the family function was several weeks earlier.
He
said my band's playing in like a battle of the bands kind of arrangement.
It'd be sick if like, you were at a family reunion and then just like you got your band just also got to play at the family reunion. Yeah, and like all the disapproving aunts and uncles had to sit there and, you know, yeah.
No, did not play like that at all, unfortunately.
Okay.
Anyway, but then he messaged me on the day and was like, oh, it's tonight. It was Tuesday night and it's at 10 o'clock in Newtown.
Sure.
That's past my bedtime.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. I'm usually in bed like 9:30 to 10.
Do you have children?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. Do you wake up early?
I do. Yes,
yeah. Right, okay. A weirdly early riser.
Yeah, I wake up like between 5:30 and 6 every morning.
That is insane. Mm. Yeah. Is that an illness?
Yeah, I think it might be an illness.
I only discovered this when Mo was a baby, and like there was no one to talk to when he was awake,
except for
Henno.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's because I worked for a period of like a 6 a.m. shift. Like I started work at 6.
Oh, right.
And that was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, right. And,
ever since I've done that, hardwired.
Yeah, somebody told me that once. I was like, oh, I can't wait until the kids are older so I can sleep in. And they were like, oh, no, that never happens. You've changed. Like,
yeah, you're broken.
Yeah.
What are you, like a wake
I would
midday?
Say, I would say I begin to rise around 9.
That sucks so hard.
And then I get out of bed and head to work. I need to be at work by like 10. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you're not lying there reading posts for too long or anything.
No, I often will. Oh god, this is. I've got a thing on my phone now where it will read an article to me. Mm. So I'll often just like pick an article I want to read and then just like lie there in bed while it reads it to me. It's
doesn't
very
get up
bad.
Till 9 and yeah. He's having his phone read things yeah. to me.
Yeah. Like I've stopped reading posts. I say article, it's usually a Reddit thing. Yeah, sure, just sure, like sure. Select all,
you're like, an ancient pharaoh.
But also, I like the two of you, I'm staying up till midnight, 1 a.m. most nights, you know?
Yeah. That's, cool. That's, what are you doing that late?
Jerking it? No, I'm playing video games mostly. I'm playing the Spider-Man game on PlayStation.
Just say jerking it, honestly. Great. Yeah.
You know, I'm playing video games. I'm out doing shows. Okay. I'm calming down from all the prednisone I've taken.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, cool. Yeah.
That's what all the holes in the walls are for.
Benjamin.
Yes, mate.
Would you like to share a post with us,
please?
This
was sent in by Warwick Randell. Thank you so much, mm-hmm. Warwick. Mm-hmm. This is from Reddit, which I'm sure your robo butler has already read to you. It's from the No Stupid Questions section of Reddit. And it goes, how do I attract a ton of crows/ravens to my yard?
Ooh.
Me and my wife are going to be first-time homeowners, and we have an odd sense of humor. We really, really want to have that ominous house, to be that ominous house covered in birds. Does anybody know any tricks for befriending wildlife? To be clear, I'm looking for ways that won't put them in danger physically or anything that would change their diet and hurt them.
What is the username of the person is there any clues in the username of the person who posted this?
Celerem.
Okay, no, not like, you know, like old Raven or something. 69 or something. Exactly. Interesting. Okay, so they want to be the house covered in ravens. That's not really a thing that happens in Australia, really. It is a European and or American thing, I think, to have a house covered in ominous true. Birds.
Yeah. No, we'd.
The most ominous bird in Australia is the magpie.
Of course.
And that lives in a tree.
And you don't want to do anything to attract them to your place.
Just have a bunch of kids around and they'll get swooped.
Oh, my God. Know? Did you ever have to do that? I'm sure we talked about this, but did you ever have to do the ice cream punnet trick when you walk into school?
There were a lot around, but I never did the ice cream bucket trick. I know other people did, but I was never really swooped super badly.
I think there was some sort of cable ties on a bicycle helmet that I saw
I still see them around.
Yeah.
I say we get rid of the magpies. That's not going to make me any friends in the bird community.
You want to like Khaleesi virus the magpies? Did anyone get that reference?
No, what the fuck are you talking about?
I've probably got it wrong. Khaleesi's from Game of Thrones.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Myxomatosis is one that got rid of rabbits. I feel like it was called the Khaleesi virus, but maybe not. Anyway. There might be two separate rabbit viruses.
I'm sure there's the whole thing that if we get rid of the birds, then some grub dies or some grub thrives. And then that grub
eats concrete.
Yeah, and then buildings will fall on me or something. I don't know. I'm like, you know what?
You're not supposed to do it, apparently.
Let's not meddle with it.
Okay.
Let's just do the bucket thing.
Do you have a house, Ben? Do you live in a house or an apartment?
Apartment.
Because in an apartment, I can't cover this apartment in crows.
No. Yeah. You get a call from the Shrider manager.
So I know on these Reddit posts, sometimes people are helpful about these things. Is anyone?
Yes. Well, Donna Party Kebab. Uh-huh. Is that a pun?
The Donna Party. Yes. They're like the people that went across America and ate each other. They were like that caravan of wagons. Donna Party Kebab. It's human meat.
Okay.
It's all right. That's pretty good.
All right. just no preamble, no nothing. Raw in-shell peanuts, too big for smaller birds. Dust with KN to discourage squirrels and such. If you're planning to establish a trade relationship, build a level platform that makes some good noise when you put out the peanuts. Try to keep a consistent schedule and quantity.
If when they bring you something, give them a little something extra and put it in the same location as they're offering. If they bring you money, understand that you can and will train them to rob people if you reward them for it.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. That just opens up a whole new vista of possibilities.
You know, there's a way to read this. This is very Mike Ehrmantraut.
If and when they bring you something, give them a little something extra and put it in the same location as they're offering. Understand that you can and will train them to rob people if you reward them for it.
That's great to have an army of birds to steal money for you.
I've long wanted an army of animals. You know,
any in particular, or just?
I honestly would settle for anything. I probably when I was younger, I had strong preferences, but I don't think there's an animal that, if like, let's say a sorcerer or warlock of some kind offered me an army of any animal, I'd turn them down. Oh,
you're getting on in years. You can't turn down these opportunities.
No, exactly. I mean, that's part of growing up. It's part of being a parent as well. You know, you're sort of drastically lowering the expectations of the army of animals that you'll one day command.
Hey, but when God closes a door, he opens a window. So
I know, but I just think about myself at uni and, you know, be telling the archmage to tell his story, walking, offering me an army of slugs. And now
you'd be like, those slugs looking pretty
good. Get them little uniforms. And a little sluggy uniforms.
A little hat. I feel like a shirt would interrupt its movement.
That's true.
So it'd have to be a hat.
No, because then it's going to fuck up with their, I think they're just going to have to be nude.
See, I kind of pictured it perched in between the antenna.
Oh, that's adorable.
a little trucker hat or something.
Having an army of slugs would make you a brilliant strategist.
You have to think
very far ahead.
You'd have to be like Napoleon-esque. Yeah. The way you arrange these slugs.
Big on strategy, not so good on tactics, unfortunately.
Did either of you guys have a scary house in the neighborhood when you were growing up?
We did, but that was less to do with ravens and more to do with the fact that it was widely established that a pedophile lived there.
Imagine if he had ravens.
Yeah, I mean, one of the more frightening animals for children is the common pedophile.
No, I've had no scary houses in our neighborhood that I recall.
No?
You know, it was all relatively new development around there. Uh-huh. So it's quite, you need the years to sort of accumulate.
Yeah, I guess
the
you do. You
kind
of want
a scary house.
An old lone person living there.
That's right.
You can hear them cackling at night while they play their gramophone records or some shit.
I just had a memory of being dared by my big sister to like walk up to one of the, it was not the pedophile's house, but it was like a kind of rundown house in our neighborhood. And touch the door and then run back.
Oh yeah.
And now I'm wondering if I've actually just read that in a Stephen King novel.
It does seem
really
like
really smacks of a Stephen King novel, right?
Yeah, it smacks of any sort of American suburban.
That could be where she got it from, though. She may have dared you, having been inspired by
that, having read that. Yeah, possibly.
I feel like that's built into the human condition to want to arrive and knock on some weirdo's door. I'm probably doing it in 600,000 years ago.
We had a weird house across the road from us that was quite run down in a very suburban neighborhood, and we would. I guess because they didn't invest in a lawn or whatever, it was these two old brothers who lived there, and it just became like so rude of us. But as kids, because they didn't have a lawn, it was just sort of dirt. We would go onto their front yard and just dig holes in it.
Fucking hell.
And like make jumps for our bikes, and we would just like race through their front yard.
Well, at least that had a purpose. I thought you were digging spite holes for these men.
Sometimes these old men would come to the window and like, and we'd be on bikes and we'd just be like, who cares? And just like, we were, 10 years old.
Kids are so horrible.
So rude.
So rude.
If there are a bunch of ravens in that house, may it have dissuaded you from doing that?
Yes. Well, there was quite an extensive bull ant nest on that house. And so the kind of game was if you fell off a jump, you would fall. And if you like didn't get up quick enough, the bull ants would swarm on you or whatever. And that was kind of
that's stakes right there.
That was their version of ravens.
That's do you reckon they cultivated the bull ants?
Exactly.
Well, it didn't seem to work very well, but anyway.
But then we think about like how when I was growing up, Halloween was sort of becoming a thing at our house.
Yeah.
Like in our
I think just in general in Australia. Like in Australia. The early 90s was
and my parents hated Halloween because they were they were kind of religious and also just like they're of that generation that just hates the Americanization of Australia.
Do you know what though? I think if you look into your heart of hearts, the primary reason your parents hated Halloween was it just had to do stuff
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
here's the thing, you know, you know, I think there was like 1 year where people would come to our house and do knocking and trick or treat or whatever.
Yeah.
And my parents, they don't really have candy and lollies around the house. So they
disgusting.
Would give out fruit sometimes or like biscuits maybe or whatever. And it didn't go down well with
fruit,
the kids.
Yeah, fruit,
no. Yeah, I remember once I got a two blocks of Weet-Bix.
And how did you feel? Honestly,
livid.
Were they free? Were they packaged?
No, they were loose. just loose, loose okay. Weet-Bix in my little bag of lollies.
Can't be honest though. Like if I was a dad doing that to some kids, that's really funny. Like, can you imagine this is like some 6 year olds coming? You give them two things of Weet-Bix. Anyway.
It's also just, sorry, the blandest. Like, yeah, have a rectangle of wheat.
Processed wheat. So 1 year my dad went on the computer and wrote up this note that was like, each year in the United States, like however many thousands of children are kidnapped during Halloween while they are unsupervised, like wandering door to door in their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And he wrote something like there are
thousands per year.
I don't know where he got these numbers from. But he was like, there are many threats, including pedophiles and whatever, blah, 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 blah. You know, shootings, that kind of thing.
Jesus
like,
Christ.
Just the most full of
things. Just say no, man. Then,
like A4, like black and white, stuck in the norms. And then I just remember the last line on it was like, do you really want to knock on this door? Which, in retrospect,
wow, okay.
I think like at the time my dad was like, this will scare him, right?
Yeah.
But obviously like again, scary, classic Hing family overshooting the runway.
Yeah. Heavily intimating that I am a pedophile own the neighborhood.
Oh, no.
That'll get him.
Oh, no.
That'll get him.
Anyway, that was just a bit. So I was like, maybe we were the weird.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, maybe. If you can't see the weird house, there. You're living in it sort of vibe.
Yeah, I think a lot of like, growing up is, you know, when you get into your 30s going, maybe we were the weird house.
Hannah, do you want to share with us?
I do, actually.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so this one was sent in by James Bonson, Branson. I can't read the handwriting.
Sorry, that's my bad. That's James, someone right. Thank you, James B.
James B, yeah, great. This is a Yahoo Answers question. I got arrested for smoking weed and my court date is soon. If I come into court in a karate uniform, am I good? Will the judge make my punishment lenient since he knows I do karate? Since they know I do karate, they'll know I do other activities besides chill around and smoke. So will that help them know?
Oh, I see. Oh. I thought, will the judge be leaning on me because he knows I know karate and I could really punish him.
It's a heel turn because you think it's going
to
be
threatening to beat up the judge.
Exactly.
Or I can't put this literal weapon into the prison system. you wouldn't send a samurai sword to jail.
But in reality, he just wants to convince the judge that he does extracurricular activities, basically. Yeah.
I mean, imprisoned Hattori Hanzo Blades.
I'm sure you could just tell the judge that.
Well, tell her I do karate, exactly.
I think
who would lie about that?
I think a uniform suggests seriousness, you know? Because you've turned up,
in certain contexts, it certainly does.
In a court.
In the context of a dojo. Absolutely.
Business.
I put it to you that showing up to court in a karate uniform conveys severe unseriousness.
Seriousness about karate. Not necessarily seriousness about the courtroom.
Yeah, okay.
In a way, though, I think it also shows a lack of seriousness about karate.
It's true, exactly.
Because you're using the...
Well, also just like I think you probably only wear a karate outfit when it's likely you will be doing karate sort of karate ceremony.
I guess because the whole thing, I mean, I never.
It's like flashing a police badge to get ahead in like an airport baggage queue line or something.
Yeah.
It's not done.
Like a karate belt to get to push in line.
Is it just me? Okay, this is one of those things that like, I feel like so much of my life now is like, it's the Easter show problem, right?
Mm-hmm. What's the Easter show problem?
Is
It's a regional show.
Yeah, it's like a regional show. The county fair. Yeah. It's like, has this started sucking or have I just gotten older?
Oh, that
is like 90% of all my thoughts.
I recently went to a show and it was really fun.
Really?
I went to the Ecker show, the Brisbane version of the Easter show.
Yeah.
And it was fucking great.
Famous like corn dog thing that you can eat?
They have a famous strawberry sundae that raises money for charity. And it was quite funny. When we were going there, we were let in by someone who had a big red shirt on that said staff. And mm-hmm. I was like, they can let us in. What we didn't realize is they weren't staff working at the Ecker. They were just staff of a different thing, but they just, because they weren't going to show this as staff, no one checks anything. Like, oh, they must work here.
Oh man, we're all staff somewhere.
Yeah. Like- And so this random person just walked us in and they were very nice. And they were telling us about how there's this huge tradition at the Ecker, how you need to buy one of these strawberry sundaes. They're so important and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I've got to do it. And then as we were walking away, I was talking to another person who was with us and they were like, oh yeah, they work for the strawberry sundae
people. Oh my God. Oh my God. There's nothing sacred.
Had a great time. I did some wood chopping.
Yeah.
I
was very concerned when you told me you were going to do that because I feel like not just for you, like you are a doofus.
Oh, sure.
And an idiot.
Thank you, man.
Huge dunce and dope and fucking piece of shit. But I think anybody doing wood chopping who hasn't had like a lot of time to will Ooh. Cut their foot off.
So they, I guess, do they do it elsewhere in the world? We have competitive wood chopping in Australia and it's like not the biggest sport in the world, but it's a thing everyone has watched at a county fair.
Yeah, I don't think it exists outside of county fairs. I'm sure it does.
Yeah,
it does.
But
that's when it's exhibited basically.
Yeah, but it's got kind of like, I guess like it's sort of, the vibe of it is kind of like World's Strongest Man kind of vibe. You know what I mean? You know those like where you see a guy, novelty sport, you know, like mm-hmm. there's a competition where a man has to lift a rock onto
a wall. I wouldn't call it a novelty sport. I feel like that will make them angry and they have axes. That's the one thing we know about them.
But it's not like, I guess it's not commercial. I guess it's novelty, quote unquote, and it's not like commercialized in the way that like, you know, other sports are.
Sure.
It just feels, anyway. So there's a couple of different ones you can do. The one I did was the one where you stand on the log and you chop between your legs.
That's right. Now that to me is the one that you lose a foot doing.
Yes, many people do. In fact, one of the guys who gave us this really long safety briefing.
Well, that's good.
And they give you these like chainmail socks you need to wear underneath your shoes and shin guards and everything. And they're like, look, you'll still break a leg or something if you hit yourself with an axe.
Yeah.
But you won't lose a foot was basically what I was saying. And the safety briefing went on for ages. And I was like, oh, thanks for doing that. But this is like, you know, it's 40
TikTok,
minutes.
Guys.
Yeah,
come on. I want to chop my foot off. Come on.
And then, well, I was like, you know.
We're burning daylight here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the guy said to me, oh, sorry, that's got to go on for so long. We had Fatty Vaughton here a couple of years ago and he almost chopped his foot off. So that's
Fatty Vaughton,
why.
Beloved sports broadcaster in Australia.
Yes, exactly. And he almost, and apparently it's a regular thing for football.
Fatty Vaughton to lose a limb wherever he goes.
For football shows to go to these things.
Right.
Because like I'm not a big guy. And so the power I can put behind an axe is not going to do much damage. But other footballers who are generally huge.
It's a crossover. I remember the footy show used to go there all the time actually.
And it's a whole thing where they go there and they fuck some shit up. One guy threw an axe into the crowd once and that's why they have big netting there between the audience.
How many safety briefings across Australia do you think have a Fatty Vaughton code up to them?
A footy show code up to them.
At McDonald's, they have one of them.
Like there comes a time during like the laser tag thing where it's like, now we didn't used to have to say this.
But due to Mr. Vaughton.
Before you read that, yes. I want to talk to Heno about something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Heno,
despite us being pretty fucking clear to stay off the airwaves, to stay off our turf, mm-hmm, you have started a podcast.
I have, yes. So I did. I obeyed you for the better part of a decade.
Yeah, and then the soft power weakened and now
exactly,
you're just really testing it.
It's definitely testing it.
But tell us about this podcast that people can listen to.
Sure. So the podcast is called Down Round. Mm-hmm. And basically I do it with Raph Dixon from The Meeting Tree.
He's a sort of I would say he's a cocaine meme lord.
He yes. So he's leaving that at the door for this podcast.
Oh, right. Okay,
we won't be discussing cocaine or MDMA.
If anyone follows the, what is it, Kick on Cameron? Is that Raph or no?
I actually can't remember. I'm not sure. Maybe, right. But you are correct broadly.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I feel like all the best cocaine memes in Sydney
have come via him originally.
Or adjacent to him.
And he's gone clean, basically.
Oh, right.
Okay. He's gone legit.
Apologies for that defamation there, Mr. Dixon. Okay.
He's still doing that elsewhere. It's fine.
Right, okay.
Anyway, but it's about tech business, tech culture.
Cool.
A light look at the world of, you know.
And is it weekly? Is it because one thing I've found from this show is that people fucking hate it when you don't put stuff out.
No, we're actually doing it two times a week.
Jesus Christ.
But, fuck, man.
Here's the great part. Each episode is only 15 minutes to 30 minutes long.
Okay.
Not a huge commitment.
Is it the kind of thing that I would subscribe to if I want to learn more about business and tech, or is it the kind of thing that if I already know a bit about that but I want to listen to people make fun of that, I would subscribe to you.
Fans of your newsletter, is it sort of in that same area?
It's in the same vibe.
Can I tell you, I was out to dinner with my friend Luke the other day.
Mm-hmm. Who the fuck is Luke?
You don't know him.
Who's Luke?
You don't know him. And we were having a conversation about Meta.
Yep.
And after about 5 minutes of talking back and forth, we both realized that we were just explaining your newsletter to each other.
Great. Well,
we both read that afternoon.
That's the soft power that's got me back on the airwaves.
It was just like, I didn't know what was going on. And then I thought maybe he's read. And then he quoted a really specific number that I'd only seen in your newsletter. I was wait a minute, are we just talking about Hanno's newsletter?
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm starting conversations out there in the wild.
So what's an example of a story you might cover or a thing people might want to tune in for?
So what have we done recently? We actually did a story about the shadowy company that owns all the porn sites on the internet.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
I think I've read a bit about that, but it's Pornhub and RedTube and whatever else.
YouPorn.
They look like they're all different, but actually it's just one guy
They're all owned by one company. Yeah. And all the production studios.
Was it you who was telling me that the whole reason that so much pornography now is stepchildren? Like step siblings.
This wasn't me. This is obviously independent research.
Was it you telling me that Big T's rule?
I did say that.
Is because of the taste of one guy?
I don't know.
Who's just heaps into incest porn?
I don't think that's true. I mean, it could be, actually. I feel like it's just weird SEO.
Because I find that stuff a bit distasteful. But I have spoken to people who are really into it, friends and stuff, and it's always single children. Lone children who don't actually have... Because obviously, obviously there are some people who, for whatever reason, are into that. That's whatever. You know, not harming anyone, whatever. But for me, it is impossible to think of a sibling, step or otherwise, to be erotic because, I've seen my sister shit her pants. Do you know what I mean? So when I think of
your sister shit her pants, man.
You've ever seen a brother, cry because he couldn't get the front seat.
A friend of mine has a theory, which is that it's to do with a higher amount of quote unquote broken families.
Oh,
more people now have siblings. Anyway,
all right.
Talk about that.
Round.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll go subscribe to that. Is it on everything? Spotify?
It's on everywhere. Okay. Everywhere you might want to find it.
All right. So it is
no cocaine.
It's Jay Hennessy and also Raph Dixon Reformed
on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. Great. All right. I got one last one to take some. This was sent in by Christopher Moore. Thank you, Christopher. And this is taken from Green Bay Craigslist in the general labor section of Green Bay, which is in America, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, I believe.
It is, yeah.
This is an ad, people looking for a dairy farmhand slash filming in Pulaski.
Dairy farmhand slash filming?
Yeah. Looking for a part-time or full-time farmhand, 1 to 2 people. Duties will include milking, scraping, barn, cleaning of manure, barn maintenance, and a few other miscellaneous tasks. Milking is a step up parlor and time. Oh, that's a type of the milking thing they have, I guess. Yep. Time is 6 a.m. in the morning and nights for about 4 to 5 hours. Pay starting at $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, those are hours that you can respect, Henna.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
We also ask you have proper workwear, which includes wearing rubber gloves, non-insulated bibs, coveralls for summer, bib snow pants for winter or fall, because temperatures will fall below 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
light colors as well, such as light blue, pink, purple, orange, etc. Reimbursement for a select period of time.
Has someone just sent in a normal ad to us just to see if we'll read it?
We are also looking for a couple to film videos together in a barn.
Uh-huh. Right.
Videos include BDSM style videos of the barn with slash around manure. And they will pay $500 to $1,000 per video, which is 2 to 3 hours of filming.
That's a lot better than $20.
Ideal candidate would do morning chores and barn maintenance and then proceed to do filming afterwards. We fit it in on the non-busy days, 2 to 3 times a week. We supply everything for filming and clean up afterwards. Call or text for more information. Must be 18 or older. And please read full ads so all information is clear.
Do you know what this ad just smacks of to me?
Uh-huh.
I'm not paying for two ads. Because there's not even an efficiency bonus of this person being the same person.
Oh, gosh, yeah, because I guess,
you're going to get burnout for one thing.
I don't know. Well, they pay $20 an hour.
So that's, so you're doing 4 hours
for milking.
Of that.
Mm. So that's right. And then $80
an hour. Yeah. And then $500,000.
That's right. Okay. Sorry. I missed that part. Okay.
Yeah. I just
think get somebody who's good at milking and get someone who's good at pornography.
But I think, Ben, what you're not realizing is over the last couple of years, especially in America, the Great Resignation has happened. People are it's harder and harder to find people to work.
Sure.
So now you're having to go to work, perhaps being overqualified for jobs, because they're spreading you out across multiple jobs now.
I guess all of us could do some barn stuff in like some barn sex stuff in our day to day jobs.
Sure. If you're already there to milk.
Would you ever?
When it says we'll deal with the cleanup in the barn.
Well, because the barn sex stuff.
You will. Like, that's just you putting on a different hat and cleaning up all the shit and cum. That's
true. Like, now you're putting back to back to $20 an hour to clean up the manure.
There's definitely there'll be some role creep here. I feel like you're not going to leave that barn not helping with the cleanup.
Yeah, I can't imagine a less sexy job than cleaning up cow manure and milking a cow.
Well, that's the thing. I think if you want to capture the sort of unbridled lust of barn sex, I think crucially you need to be filming the people who won't be cleaning it up.
Because the whole time you're going to be thinking like, I'm going to have to get a mop in here or whatever.
You want faces of pure animal ecstasy, not faces that say we should have a tarp.
Because I feel like the fantasy that you sort of see displayed in movies or whatever is someone sneaking into a barn to have sex. Or it's like...
Not someone who already works there?
Yeah, it's like
a busman's holiday.
There's the element of like the risk of being caught.
Yeah.
That's part of the fantasy you would think.
As opposed to just like
this is my workplace.
Because I can't think of a less sexy workplace to fuck in than a... Like, if you're like running in from a storm and you're escaping... Mm-hmm. I don't know, a gunman or something. Ooh. And then you find yourself into, you're an action movie or something.
Great movie,
actually. Yeah. You find yourself in a barn with a leading man, leading lady, whatever,
Call it sexual barn.
Okay. What?
Sexual barn.
Is that a pun on something?
Nope.
He just said sexual weirdly. I know how you convey that in the title of the movie so that our viewer will read it that way. But
Well, what you could do is put inverted commas around sexual, but then it just sounds like it's sarcastic, like you're going to talk to the barn to
no,
fuck
it's
and everyone's going to be like, no.
It's definitely not an inverted commas.
So. No.
Well, look, I think this person, the most charitable way you could read this is that they're really committed filmmakers.
Yes.
They're auteurs. They want...
Doing the Fielder method.
Yeah, well, exactly. They want the person to like inhabit the role.
Yeah.
It's like a method acting thing.
They don't want
thing.
Like just someone being like, oh yeah, I'm a milkmaid. Yeah, and like, you've never milked a cow in your life.
They want to see someone with bunions,
They want to see someone who, while they're getting railed against the machinery, feels like they could identify the different parts of it.
Totally. Yeah.
I think this is, there is the milking machine that milks cows.
Yeah.
And then there is... But I think I don't know if they have that here for this one.
This just seems more rustic. I don't think it's going to be like an industrial farm.
What do you reckon would happen if you put your dick in the milking machine, though?
Okay, all right. Well,
would you do a big juicy piss into it? Do you think?
I do think that science and man have probably answered this question.
How long do you think it would, like, if you just put an average person yep. working in the milk machine barn.
How long till they tried it?
I guess we say a person with a penis. So how long would it take before a person with a penis puts their dick into the milking machine?
I mean, I think it, because I think that there are some, do we count outliers? Because I think there are some people who it's like,
that's why they got the job.
Well, yeah, it's like, okay, you've got your TFN forms, great. What are you doing?
I didn't pay for this job, I think.
Okay, so we think maybe what? On average,
I think maybe 3 months. If you haven't done it by 3 months, I don't think you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Really? The moment's passed.
Yeah, I think you've probably made it. You've made up your mind.
Well, it's either 3 months or like 30 years.
Hanno, it has been a delight having you on this show. It's been a very long time. I think you did a live show with us years ago.
Yeah, like, I was just thinking about it on the way here. I think it was like 7 years ago.
Jesus
But
Christ.
I don't even know if that went to air.
I don't think it did.
That was back when I remember... I think I had just come back from Brazil and was really ill. So I didn't even do that show. So I've never even done one with Hanno
before.
I think
it was at the Cafe Lounge. Anyway, if you want to come see us in Melbourne on the 2nd of September, we'll be at the Comedy Republic. Uh-huh. Snap for those last tickets up.
Yes.
We'll probably bring down the I've got my Sony and I'm ready to go to go die merch.
Yes, yes, yes.
And some tote bags and stuff. So bring money.
Yes. Also, I'm if you're in Melbourne, get along to that show. If you're in Sydney, though, I'm doing some new stand-up shows because I'm working out some new material at the end of September, the 28th of September through to the 1st of October, just some new material shows at the Sydney Fringe Festival. They'll be of varying quality, but they're always a lot of fun if you want to come and see a man have a breakdown on stage.
And who doesn't?
What day will this come out, Ben?
Oh, who knows? Probably tomorrow.
Okay. Well, if you're in Sydney as well and you want to come see me taping an episode of Alex Lee's new TV show, Win the Week.
Oh, yeah.
You can DM me or her on Instagram.
That'll be on Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be on Tuesday night.
Well, I'll try to get this out on Monday night. Yeah
cool. Hanno, anything else to plug aside from your cocaine-laden podcast?
Apart from the podcast, I also have, as Ben mentioned, I have a newsletter as well. It's about tech and business and politics and culture. Well, it's called The Terminal, www.theterminal.info. INFO.
All right.
Benjo, anything else for you to plug?
Just have a lovely time.
Have a lovely time.
You know what I mean? I want to really give a big shout out to having a lovely time.
Uh-huh. I feel like a shithead for repeating that with something so commercial.
Very selfish of you,
yeah,
Hanno.
Very self-centered.
Yeah, wow. Okay. That.
But yeah, until next time.
Bye.
Bye. If you like pina colada.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.